Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Yevamos Daf Kuf Tes Vov. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara Marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur in the middle of the Omid. You'll notice a bow tie shape, 21 lines from the top. We introduced the bow tie marking in our last shiur as questions regarding the believability concerning the death of a woman's husband that are connected to times of war. This is the second of the questions, and it deals with a singular witness. On the side of the Gemara, you can see we have a Nosei, a topic heading, Haim Sonchin Al Eidus Shel Eid Echod B'Milchoma Lomar Meis Habal. Do we rely on the testimony of a singular witness during the time of war to say that the woman's husband died? We should point out, in general, when it comes to testimony of the death of a person resulting in the freeing of the wife or the widow to marry, we do rely on the testimony of one witness. What about when we combine that with the fact that he's testifying concerning the death of the man at the time of war? And the issue of milchama we discussed extensively in our previous shiur, how women are not believed because they speak through conjecture and not through hard facts. Ibaya laho, we continue out in the Gemara. Eid echod bilmilchama mahu. The issue of believability of a singular witness at the time of war. So that we have a war raging on, and a witness comes and tells the woman, your husband died. Is he believed? The Gemara presents two sides of the analysis. Taimo di'ed echod mehemon, the reason in general that we say a singular witness is believed, mishum de milso davido ligliehu, it's a matter that will inevitably become revealed. Lo mishakir, people will not lie about things like that. In other words, if he's testifying that the fellow is dead, if he's lying and the husband comes back on 2 feet, he'll be revealed to the public, at the witness that is, as a liar. So matters that can become revealed, people will not lie about that. Hocha nami lo mishakir. So to hear, he wouldn't lie. Oy dilma taimo deid echad. Or it could be that in general, believability that we assign to a singular witness, mishum dehi gufa daiko mitzvah. The witness testimony is really combined with the knowledge that a woman, before she remarries, checks out very carefully to establish her husband's death. That's, of course, in general. As we mentioned in our introductory remarks, a singular witness in general is believed. But why is that? Is it because of Milsa David Gliedo Meshakir? Or is it because the witness information is reliant upon her cooperation, her checking things out very carefully? Fahacha lo daiko minsiba. But here, when you're dealing with war circumstances, she doesn't check things out carefully. Rather, she and the witness as well might speak through conjecture. Omar Rami Bar Chamo. The diamond that you see here and later are explained on the side under the Mivneh heading. These are attempts to show that a singular witness is believed. But as we go on in the Gemara, you can see here we have a long answer marking. And following that, you see a Dalid on the side, a long Dechia, a rejection. So we continue now with an attempt to answer. Is a singular witness believed? So Rami Bar Chama says, Toshma, come and hear the following source. Omar Rabbi Akiva, Kishiyoradati l'nahardu l'abir hashona, when I went to Nahardo to intercalate the year, to establish whether or not a year needs to be extended, instead of a standard 12-month year, it might be that it's necessary to add another Ador, making it a 13-month year. So when I went to make these calculations in Nahardah, Motsosi Nechemya Ish Beis Dali V'Omar Li, I met Nechemya and he told me, Shomati She'en Masiyan Eso Isha Beretz Yisrael Al Pi Eid Echad Ela Rebbe Yehuda Ben Bava, that in Israel only Rebbe Yehuda Ben Bava says that we will allow a woman to remarry based on the testimony of one witness. Ve'anamti lo, and Rebbe Akiva tells us, and I said to him, Kein Hadvarim, yes, that is so. Omar li, so Nehemiah told me, Emor lohem mishmi, tell them in my name, Atem yodim hamadino hazu mishubeshes begaisois. This is a key phrase. The Gemara will have to deal with it later, but in the meantime, we're assuming mishubeshes begaisois to mean that this land is thwart with wars. Kach mekublani ragamliel hazokin shemasiyan hoisho al pi eid echad. I have a tradition in the name of Rabbi Gamliel, the sage, that we do enable women to marry through the testimony of one witness. My medina mishubeshes begaisos, the expression that we paused on just before, what does that mean? Lav afagav, is it not so? Afagav de medina zu mishubeshes, even though this region, this country, this area is thwart with wars. Kach mikublani, I have the following tradition, Shemasin al pi eid echad, that we rely on the testimony of one witness, Alma eid echad mehemon. So we see from this that one witness is believed even in times of war. Omar Rava. Rava now deflects this. He rejects it. He says, Ihachi, if that is the understanding of this source, my shna medina zu. Why in the source was there emphasis placed on the expression hazu, this country? If the source is revealing to us a general teaching, then kol mokom shiesh gaisos miboyale, the source should have said that wherever there are gaisos, platoons of troops of warfare, they one witness would be believed. But it doesn't say that. The emphasis in this source is on hazu, this country. Ela Omar Rava, hochi koma. Therefore, Rava has his rereading of that source. Atem yoidim shemedina zu mishubeshes begaisos, v'lo efshur li lemishbak in shibesi umaisi kami rabbonon. There are bandits. There are all kinds of dangers on the road, and that prevents me from going myself and sharing this information. I therefore can't leave in Shibesi my household, my wife, and come to the Rabbanan. So I want you to know, Kach mekublani ragamliel shemasiyan isha al pi eid echad. We enable women to remarry based on the testimony of one witness, but nothing to do with testimony during the time of war. Simply that one witness is reliable for women getting remarried. Ta shma. Again, we attempt to show that an eid echad is ne'emon b'shas milchoma. Maisa b'shnei tamidei chacham shiboyin im abo yoisi ben simoi b'sfina. There was an incident involving two Torah sages that were accompanying Rabbi Abba Yossi in a boat. The Tova, the boat sank. The Hesi, Rebbe Nishosan al pi Noshim. And Rebbe, the great Rebbe Yehuda Nosi, enabled the widows of these men to remarry based on the testimony of women. The nature of drowning at sea, of nature of water, is like a war. In what sense? That people say things, conclude things through conjecture. And halachically speaking, within the realm of testimony, women, even 100 of them, have no greater power than a single man witness. Fikotoni hesi, and in the source it says that Rebbe enabled them to marry, to the widows to remarry, so that we believe one witness in the time of war. The Gemara rejects this, Vitisbra. And now the source that you just read needs further explanation. Mayim she'ein lohem soif ninu. We're dealing with a boat that sank on high sea. This is, the high seas are called Mayim she'ein lohem soif. That means water that at any point in which you're standing, you cannot see any land in any of the directions. So all around you, all you see is water. So that's Mayim She'en Lahem Sof. Literally, Mayim that has no end. Water that has no end to it. That's the case here. Umayim She'en Lahem Sof Ishto Asura. In the case of a husband getting lost on high seas under circumstances of Mayim She'en Lahem Sof, the woman remains forbidden. She remains, we call, an aguna. And yet in this source we saw something to do with a drowning, and Rebbe enabled the women to remarry. Ella hefidomi, what are the circumstances? The Amri, the women, had said as follows. Askinu kamon. The body was hauled out in front of us. And we're at the top of Omid Beis, v'chazinu la'altar, and we saw the bodies immediately, within enough time that the water would not start to distort their form. V'ko'amri simonim, and the women reported that the signs, noticeable identification elements in the bodies. We're not relying upon the word of the women. We're relying upon the signs that they gave, the identification marks that the women shared. So from this incident, you don't see the reliance upon one witness in the time of war. What you see from here is that if clear body signs, identification marks are given about a dead individual, we can rely on that. But on the word of a witness saying, I saw the man dead, we don't see that here. On the side, we have a nosei, mivne heading, and the trapezoid shape that you see featured, this marking scheme will continue till kuf tes zayin omanav. So we have a rather long association with this particular structure. So until Kuf Zayin Omer Aleph, Yofiu Gimel Mikrim, there'll be three cases, three incidents, She Meshutaf Lahem HaSheila, that common to each one of these cases is the question, Haim Chayshinon Li Acher. So we have three cases. The cases in and of themselves don't appear related in terms of content, but the analysis of the three cases has a common theme, and that is, are we choshesh, do we consider the presence of someone else? Hivlatnu b'simun zeh, we've accentuated with this particular marking, the bow tie, ha'ofa rishono shomilas chayshinon v'chol mikra, the first time the word chayshinon appears in each one of the cases. Now the first case, Mikre, that we call Mikre number one, Mikre Shebo HaMafkid Shumshamim, someone had entrusted some Shumshamim. Sometimes Shumshamim is translated as sesame, let's say, bales or piles of vessels full of sesame seed. He entrusted this, so the one who was mafkid, that entrusted the sesame, tov'om me'ashomer, he sought out his entrusted items from the guard, from the one, the watchman, Shetan Negdo, the watchman upon during upon the claim made against him, where are my seeds? The Shomer responds, the Einom Shelo, that which is in my possession are not your seeds. The Gemara will feature a triangle marking. This is a Ma'akav, the Yesh, with the point facing up, the Yesh of Sok Lutovas Amafkid. That will be an attempt to show in favor of the owner, and the dechia is a rejection. We're not going to be favoring the owner, but we'll believe the shomer, in his, the guard, in his response. Hahu Gavra. We're continuing with the first of the cases. There was a man, the Afkid Shumshami Gabi Chavre. He had entrusted sesame by his friend. Omar Le, the owner, says, Hav li Shumshami, give me my sesame. Omar Le, Shakaltinu, the guard, the watchman, says, you have taken them. I return them to you. So the owner says, Vaha, Kain v'chein havyon u'b'chavito ramyon. The owner says, what do you mean? I entrusted by you such and such amount, and they were entrusted in a barrel, and they are still by you. Go check it out, and you'll see that the amount is just like I am telling you. Omar Lay, the shomer, the guard, watchman, says back, Didcha shakaltinu, that which was yours, you already have taken. Fahani achrini ninu, that which is in my possession is something else, and it's mine. The triangle that we see is explained on the side of the Gemara, where you see the triangle featured. It's a ma'akav, an attempt to keep track of a back and forth style. With the point facing up, this is in favor of the mafkid, and the inverted is a rejection of that, as we had indicated earlier. Sovar Rav Chisda lemeimar, Rav Chisda thought to say, Hainu shnei tamidei chachamim. This is to be viewed the same way as we saw the case at the bottom of Omen Aleph, involving the two sages that were on the boat, and there was a drowning, and women told us that they had died. V'lo amrinon hanoch azlu le'almo v'hani achrini ninu. And we don't say that the original sesame had gone away, and that these are really not the owner's. These are someone else's. But rather, the owner is to receive those sesame. The owner wins. If we look in Rashi, Hainu shnei tamidei chacham, tsani li'el, that we saw before, Vehesi Rebbe esne shosen al pi noshim, where we saw Rebbe enabling the widows to marry based on the information provided by the women, v'tartzinon di amri simoni, and we explained that the women there had given the signs of the bodies, the identification marks, v'lo amrinon, and we don't say achrini ninu v'simonim hochi yisramu, that the bodies really are those of someone else, and they just happen to have the same ones as the husbands of these widows. We continue now in the Gemara. Omar Le, Rava. Rava responds. He says to Rav Chisda, Mi Domi, how can you compare the case of the entrusted Sesame to the case of the body identification marks revealed by the women. Hossam, in the case of the Shnei Tabini Chachomim, Ko'amri Simonim, there were clear identification marks that were given, and we relied upon that. Hocha, Shushami, my Simona is Lahu. Regarding the sesame, what sign is there indicating that it belongs to this owner? Udeko'omar Kain Vekain Havion, and that which the owner says, the amount. Amar Chushbeno Isrami. It just so happened that the amount that he had at one time entrusted is in fact the same amount that is currently in the owner's, in the shomer's possession. It just, and when it comes to quantities, that's not a sure sign or identification as being the owner's. So, as far as Rava is concerned, the shomer wins. Omerle Mark Shisha Barav Chisto the Ravashi. Umi Chayshinon Shema Pinon. Are we to worry, or are we to suspect that the sesames were in fact cleared out by the owner, like the shomer claims? Vaha Tanan. Now, before we go on, let's take a look at Rashi. Umichai Shinon Shema Pinon Hecha the Simona Kamo Iso Kamon, where the original sign is present. In other words, the owner gave an amount, and that amount is still present here in the Rishus, in the domain of the Shomer. So once there is some coinciding of information, so why should we suspect that this is something other than the original stuff that was entrusted by the shomer, by the mafkid, the owner? The hotnan, motzakli v'kosuvalov kuf, the letter kuf equals korban. If you have a, you find a vessel, and there is a kuf written on the vessel, so the contents are assumed to be korban or hektish, something that's been sanctified. Mem, if you find on the vessel a letter mem, meiser, the contents are meiser tithes. Dalet, the letter dalet, dimua. Dimua is a mixture of chulin and truma. Truma, which is a tithe given to kohanim, got mixed in with other stuff, and that mixture can be eaten only by kohanim. So a dalet on a vessel would indicate that the contents is dimua. Tes, the letter tes, equals tevel, some, it's produce that's been that has not been tithed. Tuf, the letter tuf, the last letter of the alphabet, equals truma. The contents, truma. Now, you might ask, why didn't they spell out the words? Why are they writing just letters? Shebishasa sakona hoyu koisvin tuf tachas truma. At the time of Gentile edicts against Jewish practices, so in order to not appear as if this is something of a Jewish halachic nature, so the letter tuf was written to serve as a cover-up, but it represents truma. So what do we see from this? We see that we don't suspect that the contents are really something else, and the original contents were removed. But if that's the letter on the vessel, then that is what is the nature of the contents. So, like we say here in this source, that which you see is what is, so too, the owner gave us an amount, and that's the amount that you find by the shomer. You can assume that that is his shumshimi. Omerle Ravina the Ravashi. Notice the inverted triangle. So now we're going to challenge that which Mark Shisha had told Ravashi. Ravina now says to the contrary to Ravashi. V'loi chayshinon shema pinon emo seifa. Are we not going to suspect that maybe that which was originally there has been removed? State the continuation of the source. Rebbe Yossi Omer. Afilu motza chovis v'kosuv alav truma. Even if you find a barrel and the word truma is written out, hare elu chulin, the contents can be assumed to be chulin. We follow the majority as Rashi says, Dazlinon Bosor Ruba. Shani Omer Eshtaket Have Mole Truma. Last year, Eshtaket means last year it was filled with Truma, Upina, and it has been removed. So according to Rabbi Yossi, it's very clear that even though you see a sign indicating one thing, that which it indicates isn't necessarily indicative of that which is in there right now. So that if you were to apply this, then the original stuff that was entrusted by the mafkid is no longer there, and that which is in the possession of the shomer is the shomer's. Ella. Now, we also have to resolve this source, Rabbi Yossi, with the Reisha. Ella dekuli almo chayshinon shemo pinon. Rather, everyone, the Tanoim here, will agree, not like Rav Chisda, that we do consider that the original stuff has been removed. V'hocha v'hokum ivli. Here, with regard to the Tanakama and Rav Yossi, their machlokes concerning the vessels with the marks on them is as follows. Mor sovar im isa de pinehu, if it were so that the original stuff is not there, is not that which is in the vessel, michbar have kofar, it would, the letter, this, the identification mark would have been erased. Since it wasn't erased, that's why we're not going to say what we otherwise would say, that the original stuff has been removed. The idach, as far as Rabbi Yossi is concerned, the original stuff was removed, and as far as the identification mark is concerned, Eimar, I can explain that ishtaluya ishtali, they forgot to erase it. Inami lefanche shavke. Another approach would be it was deliberately left there, not that it indicates that the word truma indicates that the content is truma, but it was there to create fear. Panche is in order to prevent others from helping themselves to it. Once they, when they see it's truma, they're not going to eat it themselves. So the sign on the vessel doesn't indicate that it's real truma. It was just there to keep people away. Now we have another trapezoid indicating another case. And on the side, the nosei, you can see we've indicated a hemshech, that this is really a continuation of the general scheme that we started with these markings. The number two, b'mokim shelo hufsuku shnei anoshim ba'isoy shein, in a locale where it is not known that two people have the same name. So we'll talk about, let's say, a relatively small locale or some kind of very unusual name where it's not known that two people have the same name. Ha'im yesh lachshosh b'chol zois sheyesh oiv mishu b'shem zeh. Are we on our own to suspect that maybe someone else has the same name? This will of course be quite applicable when it comes to different kinds of documents, as we will see in the Gemara. Yitzchok Reish Gelusa Bar Achte de Rav Bevai, the son of Rav Bevai's sister was Yitzchok the Exilarch. Have Ka'ozil Mikurtava Laspamia. He was on his way from Kurtava to Aspamia. These are different places. Veshochiv, and he died. Sholchu Mehosam, a message was received from there. In other words, from there they sent Yitzchok Reish Gelusa Bar Achte de Rav Bevai, Have Ka'ozel Mikurtava Laspamia Veshochiv. Such a message was then received. Mi chayshinon letrei Yitzchok oi loi. Are we to suspect that there is another person with that name or not? Or we don't have to suspect that. Rashi says, "Mi chayshinon letrei Yitzchok hecha de lo huchzeku shnei Yosef ben Shimon b'Yirachas," where it's not known that there are two people with the same name in that community. Are we on our own supposed to suspect that? Abaye Omar chayshinon, Rava Omar loy chayshinon. So Abaye and Rava disagree on that point. Omar Abaye mino amino lo. If you skim ahead, you'll notice a diamond appears later, and it's preceded by Rava with the same issue. Where do we know this from? Where does each one know their own positions? As we indicate on the side where the diamond appears on in our explanation on the side, Mino Amino law, Abai Varova Shecholkim, that argue, Mevim Mikoroseim Le'em Doisom. They bring sources for their positions. So Omar Abaye, Mino Amino law. From where do I know that we're Choshesh? Tahu Gita, there was a divorce document, Dishtakach bin Nahardo. And it was found in the community of Nahardo, Ksiv Bey, in the get, the following was written, the following information appeared. Bitsad Kolonia Maso, near Kolonia the city, Kolonia the name of the place, Ano, and here is a name, Androlonioi Nahardo, Androlinioi, the Nahardoyan, Patris Vitarchis Yasplonis Intesi. Patris Vitarchis has to do with cutting off or releasing, sending away, freeing up his wife. I'm sending away my wife in divorce. And the name of the woman appears, Intesi, my wife. V'sholcha avua d'shmuel l'kamei d'rav Yehuda Nesiyah. The father of Shmuel, Avua d'Shmuel, sends this case to Rabbi Yehuda Nesiyah. In other words, there is someone there in that has that name. Can we assume that his wife is the one that's been divorced? V'sholach lei, and Rabbi Yehuda Nesiyah sends back, Tivdik Narda Kula. Check out all of Naharda. Rashi says, Tivda kol Naharda, im yesham andro linoi acher chutz mibal isha zu. Is there another, we'll call him Andy, in Naharda besides the husband of this woman? So we have a woman that is holding a divorce document, or she found a divorce document indicating she felt that that was her husband's name, and that now she is divorced. The Rava Omar. Rava says to Abaye, is if that's your basis, that you are to suspect there's someone else, so then im isa de chayshinan yivdo kol ha'olam miboyalei, you should check out the whole world for someone else with that name. We don't do that. So really, Rava says, you don't have to suspect, being that there isn't any chazok, we don't know of someone else with that name. We don't have to go and check it out. So why did Rabbi Yehuda Nesiyah say thusly? Ela mishum kvoide d'Avu d'Shmuel hu d'sholach achi. Out of respect to Avu d'Shmuel, who had apparently made a mistake and asked something that didn't need to be asked about, but so as to give to accord to him the proper respect due to such an erudite, significant individual as Avu d'Shmuel. So Rabbi Yehuda Nesiyah said, go check it out, even though it wasn't necessary. Omar Rava, Mino Amino La, from where do I know that if you don't have a chazoka that where it's not known that there's someone else with that name, you don't have to go check things out. From where do I know that? Dehano tre shtori denafki b'mechuzah. There were two bills of collection that were found in mechuzah. Ukosiv behu, and in the document, the following was written: Chovi bar Nanoi, the Nanoi bar Chovi. These are names that were written in these two shtoros. That in one shtar it says Chovi bar Nanoi has the right to collect such and such amount from so and so. Another document had Nanoi bar Chovi saying he can collect such and such amount from so and so. The Agvi Buhu Rabo bar Avua Zuzi, and Rabo bar Abua enabled these gentlemen Chovi and Nanoi to collect the amounts written in these shtoros. These are names that are very popular in Mechuza. The Rashi says Shlichi Tuva, Vafilu Hachi Magvinon Kishemotzi Shtarchov Al Acherim. And even so, we enable Chavi to collect debts when they produce the shtar against others. We enable them to collect. We don't suspect that maybe it was someone else that is to unto whom the money is owed. This happens to be a realm of momonos, of financial matters. And in financial matters, very often we find a step down in terms of stringency, that we're a little more lenient. So that here we have a case in momonos, that even though we know there are other people in that town with the same name, nevertheless, lo chayshinon, we're not suspect of these shtaros, of these documents belonging to someone else. So, since in the realm of mumminus, we don't have a chashash, the inyan isura, when it comes to matters of isur veheter, which is the other area of law, the non-financial area of law, we can call it the real ritual law, if you will, for lack of better expression for right now, there, ki lo huchsikumia, if there is no knowledge of someone else with the same name, also lo chayshinon, we're not going to suspect on our own as such. Ve'abaye, now, what is Abaye's response? As far as Rava basing himself on the case of these shtoros with Chavi and Nanoi written in them, here there really is nothing to suspect, says Abaye. L'may nechushlo, what's there to worry about? What's there to suspect? Elin afila, Misa Zoyerbe, if you want to suspect that maybe it's money owed to a different Chavi or a different Nanoi, and it simply fell away from them. They lost it, and these guys found it, and these aren't the real creditors. No, you don't have to worry about that. Mizer Zoibo, people watch their documents very carefully. You don't have to assume that it got lost and it was picked up by these guys. E Lepikodon, if you will suspect that this Chavi that produced the shtar to collect, it's not his shtar, but rather some other Chavi who's the real lender had entrusted it by this particular watchman. And that's what is behind this case. Let's read that again. Ila Pikodon, Kevon Dishmei Kishmei, Lo Mafkid Gabe. Let's just go over that case again. We didn't explain it accurately enough. When the Gemara says, Ila Pikodon, if you are going to suspect that the person producing the shtar isn't the real collector of the shtar, but he was given this shtar by someone else with the same name to watch, so that the fellow producing the shtar is in effect the shomer of the shtar, but he's not the real creditor. Well, you don't have to suspect that. As the Gemara says, since the fellow holding the shtar is you're assuming to be the shomer of it, the real owner wouldn't give it to someone with the same name. It would be a foolish thing to do, to give for the owner of a shtar, the true creditor, to give it to someone else having the same name. It's too much of a temptation for the shomer to go and use it to collect. So they don't have to suspect that that's the case. My Amris, what else is there to suspect? Dilma Mosar Lay, that the real lender gave it to this man with which to collect. Oisiois Niknos Bimasira. If that is what happened, it would be legitimate for this second fellow to collect with it. the osios means shtaros. Shtaros, owner of shtaros, are transferred through handing over, through mesira. So that if the fellow collecting with it, even if he has the same name, and he let's say it was originally entrusted to him, and the original owner gave ownership over to the shomer, the fellow holding the shtar now to collect with it, that is in effect a legitimate thing. So he can legitimately collect with it, even if he's not the original owner, the original lender. So as far as Abaye is concerned, the case on which Rava is basing his information is not an accurate reflection of other cases, like the case involving the message containing Yitzchak Reish Galusa as having been recorded as dead. Hahu Gita Dishtakach Besura. There was a divorce document found in Sura. The topic heading on the side, the Nosei, again we call this a Hemshech, a continuation, is case number 3, Mikre Shel Getch Nimtza, a case involving a found divorce document. Are we to suspect that it belongs to someone else with the same name? So the Gemara, Hahu Gita Dishtachach B'Sura, there was a divorce document found in the city of Sura, V'kosev Behochi, and the following information was contained therein. B'Sura Maso Ano Onon Barchio Naharda, in the town of Sura, I, and he states his name, Onon Barchio the Nahardoyan, Patris Vitachis Plonis Intasi, I divorced my wife. Ubotku Rabbonon Misura Viad Naharda, the Rabbonon checked from Sura to Naharda Velohave Onan Barchio Achrino, there was no other Onan Barchio, the bar, with the exception of one man, me Onan Barchio Mechigra, the Have Benaharda, there was a man with a very similar name, now Onan Barchio, from the town of Chigra, that was in Naharda, the Asu Sadi Viomru, and witnesses came and told us, Dahu Yuma ki ichtev hahu gita, the day on which that get was written, the get that was written in Sura, on that day, Onan Barchio Mechigra Gabon Have, that other Onan was with us. And Rashi adds, he was with us in Naharda. And the get indicated that it was written in Sura. Omar Abaye. And here's a very interesting structural point. Abaye is going to speak up. And two lines later, you'll see Rava speaking up. We squiggle underline this for emphasis, where they seem to... in this case, they take an opposite approach of what they may have indicated earlier. Omar Abaye, Afla didi d'amino chayshinon, even according to me, that I say that you have to suspect the presence of someone else with a similar name, hocha lo chayshinon, here, we don't have to worry about that. D'hoko amri sadi d'menahardo habe. Here you have, in fact, the revelation of another man with that name, but witnesses testifying that he could not be the one to have instructed the writing of the get, because that the other fellow was in Naharda at the time. My Baal Basura, what in the world could he be doing in Sura? So that a woman whose husband's name is Onan Barchia, and she is someone else other than the wife of the guy that the witnesses testified about, she can say, oh, I see my husband divorced me. This is my get. Omar Rava. And now Rava, you'll see, takes the other extreme. Af ledidi delo chayshinan. Even I, who in the previous Gemara indicated with Yitzchak Reish Galusa, you don't have to assume there's someone else with the same name. Hachachayshinon. Here, we are suspect that it's the other Onan that wrote the get. You'll ask, but that other Onan Barchiya had witnesses testifying concerning his presence in Naharda. Nevertheless, Dilma Begamlo Parcha Ozel. Here is a Chazal reference to a very fast means of transportation that in today's terms could be described as supersonic jet travel. The Chazal referred to it as Gamla Parach, a flying camel. Meaning, it's true that the other Onan is reported on that day of having been in Naharda while the get was written in Surah, but it could very well be that he instructed at an earlier point in the day that the get should be written at while he was in Surah, and he flew to Naharda. Granted, walking, he wouldn't be able to get there, and that's why the Gemara felt it couldn't be the same fellow. That's why Abaye felt it couldn't be the same fellow. Rava says no. Maybe he had air travel. Inami b'kfitza. Kfitza is more of a mystical area where he can move by saying the ineffable name of the Almighty. That enables people to achieve powers, we'll say, that in standard nature you won't find. Inami mili mosar. Or it could be that, in fact, he was in Naharda. The fact that the get indicates that it was written in Surah is not exclusionary of this man being the owner of the get, being the man mentioned in the get. Now this term Mili Mosar Kida Omar Lehu Rav Lesafri, as Rav instructed his scribes. The Chen Amar Luhu Rav Huna Lesafri, and similarly Rav Huna instructed his scribes. Ki isnechu b'shili, sovu b'shili. When you are writing a document in the town of Shili, you have to reflect that this is being written in Shili. Afal gav de mimsiron mili behini. Even though the instructions to prepare the document were given to you when you were in the town of Hini. And when you're writing a shtar in Hini, sovu behini, indicate in the writing that you are, that this is being prepared in Hini. The Misra Mili Bashili, even though your instructions were received in Shili. Similarly, over here as well, it's that it could be that other Onan is the Megaresh. And that which Adim say that he wasn't in Surah at the time of the writing of the get, that doesn't convince us that in fact he is the owner of the get. He's the one, he's the husband in the get. The fact that in the get it says Besurah, it's simply because that was the place that they wrote the get. So the Adim testifying about that other Onan being in Naharda, that is correct. And while he was in Naharda, he met up with a scribe, and he said, "I want you to prepare a divorce document releasing my wife," so that the wife of the original Onan Barchiya cannot be assured that it's her husband that prepared the get. It could be, in fact, this other Onan who is the one that was divorcing his wife. My have alayu the shumshami. What is the final ruling regarding the sesame that had been entrusted? And if it's not clear what that's a reference to, you see the little arrow to the right hand side of the Gemara text. You can use that to refer back to Kuf Tezvov Amid Bey, our previous Amid, the third line from the top where you see the corresponding arrow. What's the law? Who do we follow there? Does the owner win his claim, or does the shomer win? Rav Yemar mar lo chayshinan. Rav Yemar will favor the owner, and we don't suspect that it's someone else's. other than the owners. Ravino Amar Chai Shinon. Ravino says we do suspect that the owner was given back his original stuff, and the shumshami that's in the possession of the shomer really is the shomer's. It's not the owner's. The Hilchasa Chai Shinon, the Gemara rules that we are choshish. We do suspect it as being someone else's other than the original owner. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.